Are you looking to learn more about investing in the Central Indiana real estate market? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Indy Real Estate Investing Podcast with TNH Realty, where we discuss all things related to investing in the Central Indiana real estate market. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Indy Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Tallman with TNH Realty. We are a residential property management company that services the Central Indiana market. The title of this podcast is The Six Keys to Leasing Your Property in 2024. I'm recording this podcast. It's the middle of March, and we're in the throes and the battlegrounds of the leasing season. Our leasing team is really busy right now, and assuming things go as we think they will, we're going to be busy well into summer. So bottom line, now is the time to lease your home. Activity today is really good. As I mentioned earlier, we're busy. We're getting a lot of showing activity, a lot of applications. And then more importantly, we are converting those applications into a bunch of signed leases. So if you have a home on the market now or you plan to soon, I want to review a few things to help you get your property rented, because you know this as a landlord, leasing is very important. It could be quite possibly one of the most important things you'll do as a landlord, and getting it right is imperative. Just a quick side note, when I was thinking about this podcast, I had a different spin on it to start, and that was I was going to focus almost exclusively on pricing, because I think landlords out there need to spend some more time on this, meaning determining what you're going to go to market for in terms of rent. Our market, if you haven't noticed, it's changing. Those 5% increases each year, or 10% increases sometimes, that we used to see year over year for several years now, they're mostly a thing of the past. You're not going to get those big increases. So while I do plan to talk about six different keys to leasing your home, I'm going to spend a lot of time on the pricing part of it. So let's get into it a bit. We're going to take these six keys and order kind of the process you would go about leasing your home. And we're going to start with the number one part on this chain is preparing your home the right way. You know, there's a mentality out there. I think it's getting better, but for years and years and years, we used to hear people say, well, it's just a rental. And I think that's a very bad mentality to have. And if you have that mentality, change it quickly. Because what you're actually doing is you're presenting a product. Okay, so your home is a product. And you're going to have competition for that, you know, for that product. You're going to likely have several people in your neighborhood that have homes for rent, likely dozens in your zip code. So the product you present needs to stand out and look good. So what does that mean? What does it mean to prepare your home the right way? What is the right way? Because it's likely a lot of you are coming at this from maybe different scenarios. You're maybe turning your personal residence into a rental home. Maybe you just had a tenant move out. So whatever the case, whenever you turn that property, whenever you get it ready, you need to ensure that you do a few things in that process. First thing you need to do, minimal standards, is make sure all health and safety issues are dealt with. You don't want the headache of a potential lawsuit. So there's a lot of things I could go into here. I won't bore you with all the details of what our health and safety. We have some good resources on our website. We'll put it on our show notes. But simple things to make sure that your furnace is safe and operating, it's vented correctly. You have handrails around the property where they need to be. You know, simple things, again, very minimum standards as a landlord you must deal with. You don't want headaches of potential lawsuits. You don't want your house burning because of your negligence. You don't want tenants falling because you failed to install a handrail where it should have been. So health and safety, got to take care of that. Secondly, I don't know exactly the way to put this, just make sure the house works. You know, these kind of functional issues. So If you have appliances, which I strongly encourage you, particularly kitchen appliances should be there, standard and expected here in Indiana, then make sure your refrigerator works. Make sure the freezer, you know, on top or wherever that freezer might be within that refrigerator system works. Make sure your stove works, all the burners work, the oven works. You know, things like that, just making sure that your tenant doesn't walk into a scenario where things don't work. What they would assume works doesn't work. And then the third thing, and this is where I think a lot of landlords miss it, is you got to make sure your home shines. It's got to look good. It's got to smell good. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, you have to be the most updated property in the market. It's okay if you're not. I'm not suggesting that you remodel your kitchen and bathrooms every few years, because that really just doesn't make sense as an investor. You know, kitchens are expensive, bathrooms are expensive. So you can't look at your competition and go, oh, my neighbor has new kitchen cabinets there for rent, so I got to do that too. That's not obviously something you need to do. But again, have that mindset that you're presenting a product. It needs to be safe. It needs to work. And it needs to be clean and shining. It has to be an appealing product that someone walks in and says, this feels like home. This is a place I can live. Okay, number two. And this is where we're going to get into pricing. You have to price it right. This is a big one. It's, again, as I mentioned earlier, maybe the most important one, because I talked about this at the top of the show. We're experiencing some downward pressure on rent. Those days of those nice chunky rent increases every year are virtually over. So what you got last year or what you expect this year may not be what you actually get. So you got to keep that in mind first and foremost. The first thing I'll say here is don't try to hit a home run. Remember, your goal and where you're going to do your ROI the best favor is minimizing your vacancy. So you got to research your competition. You got to know what's out there. You got to know what's leased. And I would suggest don't go back a year or 6 months, which is traditional ways that realtors comp things. Go back 2 months, go back 3 months. See what is leased very recently, because that's going to be your best indicator. But again, as far as I mentioned earlier, you got to look at actives as well. Who are you going to compete with? What do their properties look like inside? Where are they on the street compared to you? You can do some micro analysis to really get a feel for, this is where I think my property should be priced. There are a bunch of online tools you can use. You know, I won't go into all the specific websites, but you can do your research. There's a ton of online tools. Some are better than others. But again, don't price yourself at the very top of the market, because I do think you run the risk of letting that property sit. So here's something to consider. Let's say you got a home that you're ready to market and you review numbers and you determine that the rent range at your property is probably going to rent in is $1,400 to $1,500. And during your search, you actually found one that you thought was pretty comparable and it rented for $1,550. So you've been told by someone on some forum, or maybe you read it in a book, that you got to maximize your rent. Like, maximizing your rent is something you have to do every time. So you put it on the market for $1,550, and it takes, let's say, 45 days to lease it. And during that application, at that, you know, 44th day before you approve an application, you guys, you and your tenant settle on $1,525. Okay. So $1,525, that sounds like a win, right? Because you actually got more than the suggested rent range, which again was that $1,400 to $1,500. You got $1,525. So is that a win? I mean, I would suggest it probably isn't. And I realize this is a podcast and this isn't the greatest place to show math, but try to follow me here. Let's say you rent it again for $1,525. But let's say instead of hitting the market at that $1,550, which you did, you went right in the middle of that suggested rent range, again, $1,400 to $1,500. So let's say you put on the market for $1,425. You're kind of in that middle, maybe on the lower end of that range, but you put on the market for $1,425. So that's $100 less than you got, you actually ended up getting. And that's $1,200 a year. That's real money. But I also think it's very reasonable to assume that you would have leased the home significantly faster had you went on that middle to lower end of the rent range. Let's say it takes 2 weeks, but you get that $1,425, and that means you leased your home 30 days faster, or you saved $1,425 of vacancy costs. So right there, that's a win. Okay, you won because you saved more than you would have received that $1,200 by letting it sit on the market for a while. And what you also did, and a lot of people I don't think really consider this, is that you reduced your utility expenses by 30 days. You probably saved yourself, if you're in the summertime, you know, four mowings, let's say. You may have saved yourself one or two snow removals if you're in the winter. And maybe more important is you secured your home by filling it, meaning you reduced your chances of break-ins, of fraudulent move-ins, things like that. Those happen. Empty properties are vulnerable. So again, you should have a high degree of motivation to rent the property. Now, some of you are probably thinking that, well, it absolutely makes sense to get the higher rent, even if it takes longer, because you set yourself up to make more money during future renewals. It's kind of that theory of your first negotiation at a job is your most important one, because you set the standard, you set the floor of what you're going to make. And I would argue, well, maybe, but I think maybe not. Residents today are more educated about rent rates than they ever have been before. If they're paying at the very top end, they're going to know that. And they may not like it, especially when you try to renew them at an even higher rate, probably the next year. And I think it's reasonable to assume that, all things being the same, a resident who feels like they're getting a good value, a fair value for the property, is more likely to renew than a resident who feels like they're at the very top of that rent range and they see better deals out there. So I'll say this again, price it right, get it occupied, you're going to reduce your vacancy, and your bottom line will appreciate you very much for that. Number three, market it the right way. So again, once you've turned the property, once you've done your research on your pricing, you got a really good pricing on your property, you need to make sure that you market it really well. For most people, that's Zillow. It's the giant in our market, so you've got to be on Zillow if you want to reach the most people. You need to take really good, high-quality photos and take some time on those. Make them look great, because once people have determined that they like your location, the bed and bathroom count work, they like your price, they kind of do those, you know, basic filters on inside of Zillow, they're going to spend a lot of time on your photos. So you got to get this right. You got to make it, you know, the photos can't be blurry. They got to be bright. Spend some time on them. Don't underestimate the power of photos. Property descriptions are important too. I think they're less than photos, but they're still important. My suggestion here is don't exaggerate. I read descriptions today and I'm like, wow, I feel like you're describing some palace in England, you know, with these overly syrupy adjectives, things like that. Just get to the point. Be factual. Don't puff. That's a real estate term. You know, don't use puffery, because if you do, you're likely going to disappoint people when they actually get to the property. If you're describing this as like the best property ever, and they get to the property and say, hey, this is pretty normal, they're going to be disappointed. So give people accurate representations of the house as much as you can. Last thing I'll say on this, try to get listed on the MLS. A lot of investors don't do this. A lot of property managers, for whatever reason, don't do this. But it's a great marketing tool, because once you place yourself on the MLS, you're going to get a lot more syndication. You're going to go out to realtor.com and a lot of other websites that you won't get to unless you go on the MLS. And you're going to instantly have hundreds, if not thousands, of agents who can show your property to potential tenants. It's a no-brainer to do. We list all of our homes on the MLS. And if your property manager isn't, tell them they should, because it's a very easy thing to do and it can be very impactful. Fourth thing, be responsive. So when you get your property prepped correctly, it's priced correctly, you got it marketed out there, you're going to get leads. Now, this is assuming you've done everything really well to this point. Okay, you're going to get leads. People will want to see your home. People are going to have questions about your home. And you need to be very responsive. You need to create time for this. We talk about treating this like a business. Well, this is part of it. Because highly qualified prospects are probably not going to wait for you. They have options. And they're going to migrate to landlords who respond quickly. So you got to be really accommodating to those people. You have to be really accommodating on showings. Because when people do want to see properties, they want to see it generally pretty quickly. And they also want to see it on nights and weekends, which may not be ideal for you. But again, if you want to get this property rented quickly, you have to be accommodating there. Number five, you have to be flexible and nimble. And what do I mean by that? There's a lot here, but basically what I mean by this is you have to be very conscious of the market while the home is on the market. So I've heard some clients tell us that, you know, we've been on the market for a while. Our leasing group goes to them and says, hey, we need to do a reduction. And they say, well, they don't want to reduce because the feedback they're receiving doesn't say that the home is too high. Well, let me say this first. People generally, if you have a feedback mechanism in your showing system, they're not going to leave a lot of feedback. You know, if you're just put yourself in that tenant's position, if you go out and look at 7 rental properties in one day, those properties come back and ask for 7 different feedbacks, you're probably not going to respond to those. So we do get feedback on our listings, but it's not nearly 100%. I don't even know if it's 50%. We do get feedback. It's valuable. We like it. Our clients like it. But someone is not going to tell you, or most people are not going to tell you, I should say, your property's priced too high. But if you've had a group of showings, or maybe you've had none, and you're not getting any applications, you don't need someone to tell you your property's priced too high. Because they're saying that already. You don't need it written down in a feedback. So be very, very conscientious of what is happening in your market. Another common thing we hear from landlords is, this is my bottom number. I can't go any lower. And this one is a head scratcher to me, because I would agree if an owner comes to you and says, look, I'm thinking about selling, I'm thinking about renting. If I can get this number, I'll rent it. But anything below that, I'm not interested, I'll just sell it. That to me is a viable and reasonable thing to ask. And we tell people that a lot, like, yes, we can, or no, we can't. Then they can make the decision if they want to go on from there. But if an owner can't sell or doesn't want to sell, those kind of ultimatums ring hollow to me. And I ask, you know, what do you mean you can't take less than, let's say the property's on the market in 1400, and they say, I can't go any lower than 1400. And I say, well, right now you're getting zero. Would having the home occupied at $1,300 cause you massive financial distress, bankruptcy, whatever? Because if it would, then you probably shouldn't be a landlord. Not probably, you shouldn't be a landlord. And for some reason, people get in this mental block and insist that I have to have X. And I challenge them, well, you have zero now. So if your intention is to rent the home, which it sounds like it is, then you've got to get someone in there earning you money. You can't hold out and just hope and wish that you get that $1,400. You got to listen to the market. You got to be nimble. You have to be responsive. But again, I'll end this on, be really in tune with your market, with your surroundings. And this includes homes that are listed for rent that are similar to yours. Keep tabs on them. So if you used, you know, say you're 124 Main Street and 224 Main Street is a very similar home to yours and it's on the market when you put yours on the market, keep tabs on it. Because if it rented, find out, you know, understand what it rented for and then react. You constantly have to ask yourselves, why is your home not leasing? Is it price? Is it condition? Things like that. be in tune, be responsive, be nimble. Final thing, create an easy-to-use application tool. Don't be that landlord that says, hey, you're interested in renting my home. I'm going to email you a PDF of my application form. You can print that out, fill it out by hand, scan it back, along with a copy of your pay stubs, your ID, whatever supporting documentation you want. That'd be great. That's a terrible experience. Will people do it? Yes, they will do it, but it's not ideal. You need to have an online tool that's easy to use, because I think most people won't go to that trouble. They'll kind of like, ugh. Well, I saw another one I kind of like better. They got this app. I can just apply right now, do everything electronically. I'm going there. And the last thing I'll say on this is, during your application, you got to be thorough. Screen everyone the same way. Don't go on gut feel. We have a whole podcast dedicated to rent fraud, and we'll link that in the show notes. But don't go, you got to be very thorough in your screening. Develop a very thorough process, and follow it every time. Make it consistent, make it thorough. So that's it. Those are the six keys. Again, I'll review them very quickly here, but you got to be, prepare that property the right way. It's your product. Make it look really good. Price it right. Again, so critical in today's market. Third thing, market it the right way. Your property's got to stand out. It's got to be available to be seen on all these different websites out there. It's got to be easy to find. Be responsive to people is number four. People really appreciate it when they get responses from landlords. They do. So be responsive. Set yourself up to where you can be available to answer those questions. Show that property. If it doesn't rent quickly, number five, be flexible and nimble. Know your market. Know what's renting around you, and be willing to make that move. Don't be stubborn. Don't be resistant. And then finally, number six, create a really easy to use application tool, or subscribe to an application tool that, where it's easy for people to apply. There's a bunch of them out there. Take advantage of that. Your future residents will greatly appreciate it. It will help your leasing velocity and likely get your home rented more quickly. Well, we hope everyone has picked up some information that will help them in their investing. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another podcast. In the meantime, we encourage you to share this podcast with your investing friends. Leave us a review and don't hesitate to reach out to us with any questions. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and please stay invested in your investment.